trees lining the country lane forced the air into an irregular rhythm that buffeted my eardrum through the Land Rover's open window. Sunlight flitted through branches, splashing the windscreen with unpredictable brilliance. The clean, savory perfume of the cow parsley clustered in the passing hedgerow mingled with the less subtle notes of manure clinging to my clothes. Beneath my stocking feet lay my lunch, along with empty syringe casings, odd scraps of paper with medical notes, and less identifiable detritus from our day's farm calls in the Herefordshire countryside. And beside me, expertly guiding the SUV around the twists and turns of the narrow lane, sat Peter, the large animal veterinarian with whom I was seeing practice. The UK term for gaining experience as a veterinary student by shadowing veterinarians in various settings. We slowed, and Peter maneuvered the Land Rover into a gateway with a narrow dirt turnout that led to a long paddock running next to the road. There was one small grey pony in the field. We got out and walked to the back of the SUV, where I removed a pair of khaki Wellington boots and bottle green coveralls from the boot. Peter was already suited up and pulling on his wellies with practiced ease by the time I'd unfolded my outfit. I stuffed the two long pant legs into my socks before stepping into my wellies, holding onto the car for balance. Shuffling around in the boot, he located a black case the size of a laptop beneath the piles of syringes, rectal examination gloves, medication bottles, and shiny stainless steel implements that made me want to cross my legs. Peter opened the case to reveal what looked like an old-fashioned pistol. Made from blackened metal, it was small and sturdy with a brown wooden handle. The grip had the patina of age, cured by the skin oils embedded in its crosshatch. It was the sort of thing I imagined from back in the Wild West, thousands of miles from this English field. Alongside the gun was a box of ammunition that served one specific purpose. This was a single-shot pistol, and I was about to shoot my first horse. I had been volunteering at the small animal clinic in the veterinary practice that Peter co-owned since I was 14, when my determination to become a vet had driven me to make weekly visits to observe Peter's small animal partner, George, conducting his evening surgery. The practice was a 10-minute walk from my childhood home in Hereford, a small cathedral city nestled on the Welsh border. In autumn, the short trek to the clinic was scented by delicious, yeasty apples fermenting at the cider factory across the street. During the spring, I was accompanied by the woolly odor and noise from trucks full of sheep and cattle on their way to market. I'd logged hours upon hours in the small animal clinic, watching vaccination after vaccination, cleaning hundreds of cages, and walking every conceivable size of dog. George was a Scotsman with a booming brogue and generous stature, both of which were barely contained by the thin walls of the consulting room. The clinic was in a converted Edwardian house, and the waiting area, which had presumably once been the drawing room, was always filled with eager owners and nervous pets awaiting their turn with the Scottish vet. After each appointment, George would stand in the doorway, his shoulders filling the frame, and call out for his next client in the high-pitched, slightly girlish tone he used to talk to his patients. Every consultation started the same way. "Hello, Mrs. Jones. How are you and Fluffy doing this lovely evening?" And he would narrate the entire visit. "Just a wee poke when administering a vaccine. We'll be in and out in a flash when describing a surgery. Medications were prescribed by color and shape rather than their pharmacology." His parting words to every owner were, "Take them home and love them." Over the years, I'd heard all of George's jokes and grown impatient at the unscientific language he used with his clients. I aspired to learn the precise name and clinical description of every disease. But I'd bided my time in anticipation of the moment Peter would invite me into the passenger seat of his Land Rover. And finally, after 4 years of formal veterinary education, I had graduated from my unobtrusive corner of the exam room to the passenger seat, ready to visit horses, cows, sheep, and any other beast too big or messy to fit into a consulting room. Now it was my turn to entertain high school volunteers in the kennel room with tales of calving successes, hoof trimming, and cesarean sections. The same stories I had once listened to with rapt, jealous attention.